Hello. Good evening. It's, 12:30 at night on, 12:30 in the morning on Saturday morning, December 18th, 2021. I apologize for recording this, in my storage room / office. And, anyway, what I wanted to do was take an opportunity to, kind of reintroduce myself, I guess, if you will. And what I'm going to do this evening is I'm going to read from a tweet that I posted, about 30 minutes ago or so. And I wanted to stress home the point of America being under judgment with regard to the draconian measures being taken by our stewards, our elected stewards in Washington, D.C., and the implementation of the vaccine, which isn't really a vaccine at all. Anyway, without getting too out of control here, I'm going to go ahead and start reading. And I said, before I go for the evening, I need to say something that will probably piss some people off. And for those of you who are offended by modern day language, sorry, I'm in Rome and sometimes I talk like the Romans do. Okay, I may get blocked. And hey, you know what? That's fine. Block me. I don't care. God's word is more important than people's sensitivities. Now, part of the reason that we're being delivered into the hands of our enemies is acceptance of the LGBTQ rainbow usurping, alphabet usurping group of misfits and perverts. Now, the scriptures call this an abomination. God himself calls this an abomination. In Leviticus 18, Chapter 22. And so that I'm not remiss, I'm going to go ahead and read this for you. Because some people can't be bothered to open their Bibles and do some reading. And that's fine. I know it actually would be better if you did, but that's okay. Leviticus, by the way, I'm using my Sword Searcher software program developed by Brandon Staggs. Not that I'm plugging him, but just so you can find it if you ever choose to get one for yourself. Leviticus 18, chapter 22. Chapter 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind, as with womankind. It is an abomination. Plain and simple. It is abomination. Now, I could actually, I'll do? I got an 1828 dictionary here, too, and we'll give you the word what an abomination really is. Now, Paul Washer says an abomination is the worst thing that a person can be to God, and with that, I agree with him. Anyways, the word abomination is used 69 times in the King James Version, and I actually typed it in the wrong place. Here we go. An abomination. First definition is extreme hatred or a detestation. Number two, the object of the detestation and a common signification in Scripture. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 15. Number three, hence, a defilement or pollution in a physical sense, or evil doctrines and practices, which are moral defilements. Idols and idolatry are called abominations. Okay? The Jews were an abomination to the Egyptians, and the sacred animals of the Egyptians were an abomination to the Jews. The Roman army is also called the abomination of desolation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. Okay, so in short, whatever is an object of extreme hatred is called an abomination. Now, nowadays, they call that a phobia, like homophobia. No, it's not a phobia. It's an abomination. Okay, so now that we know what the word abomination means, according to the dictionary, let us go to chapter 20 and verse 13. It's pretty simple. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Put to death. So you see right here in the Old Testament, under the moral law, because chapter 20 goes all on about sexual sin, okay? It can't get any plainer. The Lord Jesus didn't even have to say anything about it, okay? Because he preached in Israel. And the law was given to them, okay? It's also given to those who call themselves Christians, which is a sect of Judaism. Okay, and if you read your Bible, you will see that. Okay, now we'll go to one more verse here. Actually, I covered those two verses in the tweet. Okay, 18:22 and 20:13. And then when I moved down to the second tweet, I said the Apostle Paul also tells us this in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. And I'm going to read that as well, because it needs to be read and seen by others that this, and that Paul is talking about right here, is an almost perfect description of our generation today in the year 2021. And it says, starting in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, you know, we can look at our stewardship in Washington, D.C., and we can see that as plain as day. I mean, even the ungodly can see that. Okay, verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." They acknowledge God. They know who he is. Okay? "For God has showed it unto them." Okay? Men know who God is, whether they claim to be atheists or not. Whether they claim to be Roman Catholics or not. They understand who God is. They know he's the complete sovereign. Verse 20. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And that's a key statement. They know, and they really are without excuse, even though they lie to us every single day on the television and in the social media and the news. They know too. They all know it, and they deliberately lie. "Because that when they knew God," or when they learned of God, okay, "they glorified him not as God." They glorified him not as God, "and neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations." We see that too. "And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, well, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible beasts." And to birds. Corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Basically the creature. "Wherefore God also gave them up." Gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Through the lusts of their own hearts. See, this is why we can't always go, "Follow your heart, follow your heart." Don't follow your heart. "The heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it?" It's desperately wicked. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Okay? gave them up to the uncleanness of their own lusts in their hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Now, how many people do we know that actually worship creatures over human beings? We can see it in a number of different religions in the East. We can see it in a number of liberals in the West. Okay? Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Here's where we get to the part where I was talking about in the tweet. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Okay, I'm not going to read the definition for vile. I hope everybody understands what that word means. Vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Bang. Right there, there's lesbianism. That's lesbianism, verse 26. I'll read it again in case you missed it the first time. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Not only lesbianism, but also abortions, murdering their children deliberately. Premeditated murder in the first degree, which is against the nature of a woman. But they do it, and they happily do it. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, which is to procreate, burned. They burned in their lust, one toward another. You notice God doesn't, you notice Paul doesn't call this love here. He calls it lust, burning in their lust. One toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was just. And the word here in the King James is meet, but it can also be translated as right or just. AIDS, STDs, you know, as an example. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, I don't have to tell you what reprobate means, but God gave them over. These LGBTQ people have been given over to a reprobate mind. And not just them. Okay, not just them. Pedophiles, they're all part of it too, because it's unnatural. Not supposed to be that way. They were given over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, which is a gossiper, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that, beloved, is a perfect description of the 21st century. Absolutely perfect. You think Sodom and Gomorrah was bad? I tell you the truth. Sodom and Gomorrah are crying out to God from hell. Why? Why do you let them live when we were utterly destroyed for so much less? For so much less. Okay, that's the end of the scripture on here. Now I'll get back to the tweet. God will not deliver our country. He's not going to do it. Not as long as we keep open, not as long as we as a nation continue to accept these things that are abominations to Him. It's not going to happen. Nor will He deliver the world, where this is going on all over the planet. These Nazi tactics, these locking of people down, stealing their lives, denying them basic human rights, what we would call basic human rights. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen as long as we continue to accept nationally perversion in the open. Or even in private. We shouldn't be doing it. If you call yourself a Christian, you shouldn't be doing it. And you shouldn't be silent about it either, because you're trying to protect your life and not have negative things brought upon you. Oh, this person is a homophobe. This person is, if you're a guy, this person is a, oh gosh, I don't know, what's the word? Misogynist. Because he hates lesbians. Huh? No. Okay? We can't live our lives because other people are gonna condemn us if we're Christians. I'm speaking to Christians now, not just everybody in general, but people who profess to be a Christian. Okay? We cannot remain silent any longer. Okay? Because they're already stealing our lives anyway if we don't take the vaccine, so what's, you know, standing up for what God says is right? How's that going to hurt us anymore? It won't. It won't. And I could actually go further on this with regard to choosing our lives over what God says and choosing God, but that would deflect from, you know, what I'm trying to talk about tonight. I've talked about it before on sermon audio, but I may have to do it again at some point. And this, beloved, is why I think that America is sitting still in the face of certain death. Because you know that's what they plan for us, death. They just wanted us to volunteer for it first by threatening us before they went all Nazi on us and forced us to take the vaccine or be shot to death. Okay, this is judgment on America, for America to sit still. Okay, I actually will bring the scripture in on this one, just so you understand. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 7. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Sit still. That's what we're doing now. Sitting still. Doing nothing. Why? Because of judgment. Why should God embolden us to fight for our freedom that was guaranteed us under the Constitution and Bill of Rights, which God did permit, and He also permitted us a Second Amendment to defend those rights, but yet we're not using it? Obviously, it's judgment to me. I'm hoping to convey to you that this is, in fact, the case. It's judgment. Now, continuing in the tweet, I'm not telling people what to think. or even how to think. A man's answerable to his own conscience, the same as a woman. Okay? But again, if you call yourself a Christian, you have to consider the Word of God. This is what God has said. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have to say anything about it because it was already a capital offense in national Israel in the first century. You didn't have to tell them what they already knew. It was perversion. It was an abomination. For those of you who say, well, Jesus never said anything about that. You know why he didn't say it? Because he expects his children and his people to read the whole Bible, to read the law. I mean, after all, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. And I'll read it to you. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be what? Abomination. We already know what abomination is. So if you're not even going to bother to hear the law, why do you bother to pray? Your prayers are wasted. Plain and simple. Okay? He expects his children to read the law. And these truths are self-evident. Okay, that's a word, that's a phrase that was used in the Constitution, in the preamble, the Bill of Rights. Okay? These truths of the Scripture are self-evident to the Christian and to the true Jew. God's law is eternal. It is perpetual. Now, no one's able to keep the law perfectly. I'm not saying that the law will save you. For those of you who like to deflect and go, well, he's trying to say that the law saves. Well, no, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the moral law is perpetual. These are rules to govern our lives. They don't change. Okay, now maybe some of you Roman Catholics may think that because you've been taught that Christianity is separate from Judaism. But it's not. Not at all. Same God, same Old Testament, same prophecies. Old Testament is the prophecy. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the prophecy. You can't take Paul separate from the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you get a whole different doctrine. Okay? Christianity is Judaism fulfilled. Completed. Whether you choose to believe it or not. It's not my job to cause you to believe or to make you believe. It's my job to tell you what the Bible teaches. Okay? And again, even though we can't keep it perfectly, it still remains. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Okay? This is during the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? Now, of course, he was talking to mainly Jewish people. Okay, we don't know all who was there, but he was, you know, it was preached in Judea. Okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Okay, now nobody says the fulfillment of the law is the ending of the law. For the Lord Jesus comes to say in the very next verse, in verse 18, for truly, or verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And guess what that means? The earth is still here. Heaven is still heaven. They have not passed away. So the law, the moral law, still is in force. That's not me saying that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ saying it. And for you red letter Christians, it's in red. Okay? Now again, if you think I'm being harsh and unloving, again, your problem's not with me. your problems with the Word of God and with the things that the Lord Jesus says. Okay, I do not have an effeminately soft voice like Paul Washer. Okay, I'm not even going to try to do that. This is my voice. This is the way I talk. I'm not yelling at anybody. I'm just being firm because the Bible is firm. There's no ambiguity in it. It's not a matter of, oh, okay, well, I can take this or reject it. No, can't. You either have to take the whole Bible or reject the whole Bible. But you don't get to pick and choose. Okay? Now to finish with the tweet. Do not be deceived, beloved. Don't. There's no reason for the deception any longer. And remember, others' opinions of you are nothing compared to God's opinion of you. It just isn't. And you know what? There's still, I don't know, 4 minutes or so till we hit the half hour mark. So what I will do is I will read you something that may help you when coming to understand about the fake vaccine. I think it's Matthew 25. You know what? It's being kept from me right now, so I'm not gonna go ahead and bother with it. I think I already tweeted out on it anyway, and I know I've preached on it before. But you can't choose the world over Christ and what he says to protect your own life. Okay? He who will save his life. Sorry about that. I don't memorize the whole Bible, so I have this program to help me. There we go. Boom. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the Gospels, the same shall save it. Luke chapter 9, verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And also Luke chapter 17, verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Okay, these are the same things. It's said in all three synoptic gospels. Okay, it's not said in John, which is the divinity gospel. But it's right there. And what are they telling us to do with the vaccine? Take the shot or lose your life. Take the shot or you can't fly. Take the shot or you can't go into the grocery store in some countries. Take the shot or you will not be able to participate in society. Okay? These are these things. This is why I say it's part of the Mark of the Beast system. Because these are the same applications and things that are happening around the Mark of the Beast that you can't buy or sell unless you have the mark. You can't travel without the mark. You can't live your life without the mark. That's why I say that the fake vaccine is part of the Mark of the Beast system. Okay, I'm not going to go into all of that. I just wanted to go ahead and touch on the tweet. And again, I did not mean to digress. For those of you who choose to ignore what I've said and instead comment on my appearance or the fact that I lost the cap in the center of my mouth, I really don't care. Okay, because you weren't meant to receive this message anyway if all you're going to do is take the piss at how I look or how my storage room looks right now. Okay? Anyway, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless and preserve you. May God let his face shine upon you. May our Father in heaven lift up his countenance towards you and bring you peace. Thank you. God bless.